Hockey Talk with Boomer. Only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Everyone knows this one. Everyone knows she ain't pretty. She just looks that way. Went to school with a few of those. Just after 8 o'clock, it's Boomer in the Morning. We had to give Peter Klein the boot from the studio. This would be the one song you might actually know, right? Northern Pikes, Artist of the Day. This is now visit number three or four.
Number three.
Yeah. The boys from Raven Hockey are here in studio. And this is one of Raven, I don't know what that is. Oh, you know the kid sticks with the orange at the bottom? Oh. Yeah, I've seen those. You know those Calgary guys kind of have that whole thing. What? They're everywhere. I guarantee you've seen them. And you're going to see more of them in quantity and in style, which is why we bring the boys in one more time. Sean Riley, we got Dan Pilling, and I need to, of course, always do the...
the theme song.
Where are we here? Give it a little...
<That'd be good>.
We have Guillermo. He's Salazar.
All right, enough of that.
Hockey
it's much
been
better
very,
this
very
way.
Good to me.
Yeah. Boys, welcome back once again. Raven Hockey. Now, again, this started, where are we now in day one to today? When was day one and how long have we been at this now?
So day one, we sold our first stick a year ago last week.
Yeah.
So it's been a year since we launched.
That's crazy.
Officially. Commercially. Yeah, we had a couple of years of development, but yeah. 1 year since we've launched in stores.
Because it feels like they've been around longer. And I was talking with Perry Barazan about them, and he wasn't, because his kids are a little bit older, he's not been around a kid hockey. But anybody that's been around between Timbit to what?
Timbit to Pee-wee?
Yeah, yep. Pee-wee for sure, has seen these sticks. We're going to tweet out, and we're actually going to give one away because you have a new one. The thought process behind these sticks is that it's going to allow younger hockey players the ability to feel the puck, learn to shoot the puck, and shoot it with more velocity. But certainly, as they grow older, that feel that you have when you shoot the puck, you're going to learn it at a younger age. Basically.
Yeah. And I think we've got two things here. We got the technical version of that.
Yeah.
And then we got a great story from Mr. Salazar.
Yeah.
So let's go with the technical version from Dan.
So the first side of...
So you get the boring part and Salazar gets the excitement. That's all right.
I get the part where everybody nods their head and then Guillermo makes it really exciting. In hockey, everyone's stick, you should have the rule of flex. And the rule of flex is that your flex rating of your stick, even after it's been cut, should be less than half your body weight. Most NHL players use 100 flex sticks, 85 flex sticks. I'm a sliver over 200 pounds.
Just.
And I use 100 flex stick. So my stick is less than half my body weight.
Yeah.
And kids really are the only segment that don't have that. Most kids are buying a full length junior stick, which is generally 50 flex. And in some cases cutting 6 or 8 inches off that stick, turning it into a 75, 85 flex stick.
Or more, right?
For a 60-pound kid.
Yeah.
And that's where our sticks come in.
And it's not like you can't play with that. Obviously, kids have played with it forever.
Right.
But there's no feel. There's no way you're going to actually learn the, you know, just how to shoot the puck.
You know, it's crazy. Like, we've got kids that they'll change our stick and then score 16 goals that weekend and haven't scored a goal that year yet. And so
there's no money back guarantee.
No. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, all of a sudden you get people that will reach out to us and say, like, this is absolutely blowing my mind. Yeah. My kid's been struggling all year long. Is it Dumbo's feather? We don't know. But they change the stick and they've got the confidence. They can feel the puck. They can actually do something with it. Mm-hmm. They can get the puck up. They can shoot faster with it. And boom, they're just starting to hit the twine.
Yeah.
you know, we were watching an elite game. This is in the wintertime, and it was Timbits, and you know, I was watching these teams play, and you got kids in Timbits. You may or may not know, but the goalies don't wear gear. They just right. have a goalie stick if they're lucky, and they've got a, you know, just their regular hockey equipment. Well, now you've got 5-year olds coming across the blue line with a full head of steam, hitting the hash marks and slap shot top shelf. And there's kids that are diving out of the way of the pucks because they're getting hit with gear. And this guy's talking to me and talking to the other guy. We're talking to the other guy, and I'm listening, sitting there eavesdropping. And he's like, the problem is now is that we don't know what to do with goalies because we've never seen, like never, ever seen people raising the puck, firing the puck with velocity and being able to, you know, they're not intentionally headhunting, but the puck's in that area.
Yeah. The stick is... It was that void in the market, and you guys found it.
Yes.
So how do you... Okay, so we've got this idea. Okay, I took my kid's stick and chopped it off, and look, even we can barely bend any flex with it. Well, let's make a kid's stick. Okay. Now what do you do? Does anybody know how to make... You know, yelling out your window, anybody know how to make a kid's stick with the proper flex? No? Okay. What was step one for you guys? You've got the idea. Now how do you put it in motion?
So step one was creating a prototype. And so we had a couple different manufacturers create prototypes for us. And that was a bit of a process in itself, just trying to find the right prototype. And once we found sort of what the right direction we were going with, and that's when we did a research project out of University of Calgary. So we won a technology grant through Alberta Innovates. And that allowed us to do this research project.
So do you apply for that, obviously?
You apply for it, yeah.
How long between application and here's...
It was pretty quick.
Yeah.
It was 3-4 months. It wasn't a long process. It was really nice. And then that gave us $15,000 to say, hey, okay, let's do this research project. So out of the Human Performance Lab at the UFC, we did this project and it told us, yes, we are on the right path. We are doing the right things for the right reasons. And then we went ahead and made it. Mm-hmm. And even then it was, and I know Dan said this before, we're kind of in the point where we were wanting people to tell us, this is a dumb idea, quit, stop spending money, you know, stop doing this. And it never happened. And everybody we talked to about the rule of flex and kids and cutting sticks, it just made sense. And then we started bumping into guys that would say to us, you know what? I had the same idea and I thought the same thing. And so we've seen that. And all the coaches and the parents out there, it really seems like a no-brainer, but it just has to be done. And no one's done it before. And like any segment of the market that isn't being met, we met it.
There's a real gap in kids go from youth sticks to junior sticks to intermediate sticks.
Yeah.
And there's a real gap between youth and junior, and there's another gap between junior and intermediate. My older son, he's 95 pounds. He doesn't cut his junior sticks anymore. So if he gets any taller, he's going to have to grab an intermediate stick that is 6 inches longer, 65 flex, cut 6 inches off that. That's an 85 flex stick for a 95-pound kid.
And a bigger blade and a bigger shaft.
Yeah, and it's just the feel's gone. So we like to think we kind of live in the shadows between youth and junior. And junior and intermediate.
That's a good thing. It's a good thing you mentioned that too, because you see a lot of kids in Timbit. They've taken their dad's
paddle.
It's a huge. You know, the thickness and that of the shaft, and then the blade is a monster.
Yeah.
So we're in Timbits. We're using the lighter puck. We're getting there that way, but then we're going out there with these huge adult sticks. Now, before we get into the new one, there were the three kinds. So give us the. Because again, the key is you don't need to cut them, or if you're going to cut them, it's very little.
That was a very big part of this.
So then you don't affect the flex, right?
Yes. Yeah. So we have a 20 flex that is a 47 inch stick, and when you're in store, it looks short, and when you compare it to other junior sticks, it is short.
Yeah.
But we've built it for these 6, 7, 8 year olds.
Right.
And we have a 5-year olds using them as well. That's something we didn't expect, but we see a lot of that.
Sure do.
Then we go up 4 or 5 inches and we have the 30 flex at 52 inches. Then we do another 4 inches and we have the 40 flex at a standard 56 inch or a standard for junior sticks.
Yeah.
So we have the three different flexes and the three different heights
and three different colors. We always wanted to have a color coded system so that people could follow. sort of grow within Raven and grow out of Raven.
So would it be, so which one is my kid? Weigh them and go half.
Yep.
More or less.
We also
right?
have a in store and online, we have a flex calculator. So you can put in your height and weight and it'll tell you which stick to have. But if you want to, if you go with a weight right away, you want to be below half the body weight. But we have a flex calculator. Check it out on our website and or in store.
Yeah. You're not wrong about there's an excitement level of the kid getting out there with this stick. He's like, oh, I'm going to be able to shoot. Oh, I'm going to be able to shoot. And then they kind of, even if it, like you say, even if it's kind of in their head to start, I've not seen anybody tell me, it's bunk.
We've got, what's interesting with social media, the way things kind of, you know, grow exponentially.
Yeah,
We've been able to reach out to some significant, you know, influencers in the marketplace that are shooting instructors out of Princeton, shooting instructors that are out of Massachusetts, USA Hockey. They're all involved. Because they get it and they see the gap. And they've seen a fundamental flaw in the development program for shooting in that you just can't do it. It's just not possible with the equipment that's out there today. Mm-hmm. And so our sticks, you know, to Dan's point, fills that white space where, you know, it's just not there. And the response we're getting from people who were like, okay, this is a total gimmick. Well, they take it to the you know, the scopes and the radars and we're getting higher spin. We're getting quicker, bigger flex kick. We're getting higher velocity off the puck. Same players. Like they're taking elite players that know how to shoot. They're giving them our stick. And all of a sudden their speed's up 20%. There's a higher spin. There's greater accuracy. They can actually puck handle the stick. They can stick handle the puck better and all those things. And so it's, you're kind of like, yeah, because they want, to Sean's point, they want to prove us wrong. They want it to be another gimmick, but they're like, no, this is, I can put, these shooting instructors can put their name behind it because they can recommend it and they're not being paid to do it. They're doing it out of their own, you know, will to make better hockey players.
The other thing I think we see from shooting instructors is there's a bit of a trend of kids playing with longer and longer sticks to get flex.
Right.
But the stick is too long for correct shooting technique.
Or skating technique.
Right.
Right. They're leaning over. They're not on their butt sitting in the chair.
Yeah. So a lot of these coaches want the stick below the chin, between the chin and the collarbone.
Yeah.
And kids are putting it up around their eyeballs.
Yeah, yeah.
And or higher. And so what's happening here is they're doing that because they know the longer it is, the more flex it has. Well, we've stopped that by having different heights. So you can have a stick that fits you and with the right flex.
It can... Sure, you can get taller with the appropriate amount of flex or get shorter with the appropriate amount. Now, it starts with the green. The green's a small guy, then the orange, then the blue.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got a yellow one in here.
Yes.
Now, what is this?
Well, I think so right away with the 20 and 30, we saw this absolute need where you jumped from a youth stick to a junior stick and everything went wrong. And of course, Dan's got the, 5'2", 90-pound kid. I've got a 5'7", 100-pound kid. We have
4'8". He's 4'8", 85 pounds.
Yeah.
After, you know, we've soaked him down.
Yeah.
But we have, both of us have these children that are moving away from a junior stick, but they don't weigh 150 pounds. They're still in the 100-pound range. So we have the world's first 60-inch, so this is above a junior height. This is an intermediate height stick. World's first 60-inch, 50 flex. It is also the world's lightest intermediate height stick.
Well, I was going to say, because I just picked it up here, and there's nothing to it.
No, the lightest stick on the market until this was the Sherwood EK-15, and it was 385 grams. This is 320. It is the lightest stick on the market. It's also not I say intermediate height because it's not an intermediate stick. It has a hybrid intermediate junior shaft. So larger than junior, smaller than intermediate. We're doing these baby steps in between. And it has a junior blade. It doesn't have a big cumbersome intermediate blade.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, this is about taking a player who's playing with a 40 or 50 flex and they grow in height and age by a year. We don't need a 20 or 30 flex jump. We want to just baby step them into 40 flex, 50 flex, 60 flex, or 50 flex, yeah, 50, yeah. 55.
They're going to buy a new stick every year.
Yeah.
Right.
At
and
least.
So, and so, you know, we can, if we, but with the system we've introduced, there's actually, it's easier on the buying experience. They're, you know, we'll tell you they're technically a better stick than what's available on the market. They're lighter, they're better made, but there's actually an easier buying process. And you look at that wall of sticks and you're kind of like scratching your head. They're anywhere from $50 to $400 and mm-hmm. what do I do here? They're all the same.
The $40 one can't be good.
It can't be good. And the $300, forget it. I'm not putting $400, yeah. you know, but you know, the way the system is set up is you walk in, you look in, you know, what's your weight, what's your height, and what's your progression?
Yeah.
You know, how do you move from, you know, how do you grow with us? And so we were doing the math, you know, conceivably there's a 9-year band of players that can fit within our system. And then after that, go to the bigger sticks, yeah. go to the market. But we really want to create a community that is sticking with our stick and our system, and that are elite athletes, that are high-end players that are out there.
Yes.
And this is probably a lot of numbers for some of the parents out there, just, geez, flex, because they would never have ever, ever paid attention. What color do you like? Let's yeah. get the can we use the saw here? Do we do it at home?
Yeah.
And you put tape on it and you're done with it.
Yeah.
But this, it's going to make you think a little bit more. Go to the website, which again is
ravenhockey.com.
Ravenhockey.com. You've got the calculator.
Yeah.
How tall are you? What do you weigh? Let's dial in on that stick and then watch the young boy or girl go out there and start to play with it. The puck is going to feel different. I just know we've all got kids. My kid has been using a Raven for a year now.
Yes.
And everything feels different. It comes off the stick different. It feels different. Now, of course, he's going to tell me that because the stick looks cool and he likes it. but you can see it with a lot of other kids. And I guarantee you, parents are like, oh, so that's what it is. Yeah. And no one knows that it started in your guys' one of your garages.
And again, today's the day that our Flex 50 is launching here in Calgary at Professional Skate Service, at BMP Cycle, in Edmonton at Klondike Sports.
Now, you guys, it took you a while to kind of get stores to come on board.
Well, that's a funny story, too. So our forecast, when we sat down and there may have been some whiskey involved, we said, if we could sell 600 sticks in the first year, that would be
great. We can justify it our wives. We hang out.
Yeah. Let's try to find 6 stores and each one could sell 100 sticks. That would be a great year.
So 600 in year one would be great.
We have 25 stores in Canada carrying Raven. There's 5 or 6 in the U.S. right now. We've shipped nearly 10 times what our
original budget
what our is. Goal was for the first year.
Because I know for a while there we had you and it's like, well, the demand is a little bit greater than the supply now.
Josh and the boys at Pro Skate, the first time they got the Flex 20, they sold out in 3 days, and we said, that'll be 4 weeks. We got to build some more sticks.
But how do you know, right?
And they did it again. They sold out in 4 days the next time. So it's kind of been great. So we're excited to see the Flex 50 hit stores today.
Now, it's got a yellow, kind of a bright yellow shaft with the black tip on the butt end and on the blade.
Yeah, and the blade is black. We reversed the color scheme because you can see the blade has a 3K carbon. So it's a 3000 weave carbon. It's a stronger blade. We know these players are getting older. They're getting stronger. They need to have a slightly stiffer and more torsion control in the blade. So we've added that.
So this is what Pee-wee kid's going to be using this guy?
Pee-wee Bantam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you want your kid to be using one of the first Raven Flex 50s, get on the fan feedback line right now, 96960 from your mobile phone. What can we use for a thing here? I'm going to ask you a question while I think of what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Are we making money yet, gentlemen? Because I know you put money in and then it's...
We'll turn this to the guy wearing a suit.
Right, yeah. Because for
it's
a while
you
put money in, it's like, well, we may never see this back.
No,
we're taking
it's
a chance.
Exciting. What's been great is that with the demand we've had, and with the way that our supply was all set up, it's been, and we're being in a position where we didn't have a lot at risk at a single point in time, and we've been able to grow with scale, with supply and then with demand, and because the stick is in such high demand, we're able to have a lot of favorable terms with retailers.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases, the big guys are like, okay, thanks for the sticks, I'll pay you in 6 months, which doesn't really make for a good business.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been able to have much more favorable situations so we can actually And the retailers understand it because they want more sticks too. And so we're growing kind of with the partnership. We consider our retailers to be not necessarily a negotiating adversary, but to be a partner in growing this. And we've learned a ton about the different markets. Like, you wouldn't believe how hot minor hockey is in Pennsylvania, as an example.
Well, I saw you guys.
It would blow your mind.
Hype in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. They're nuts about hockey in Pennsylvania.
Well, we have, for numbers, we have two stores carrying Ravens in Calgary. We have three stores in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. And they're ordering by the hundreds.
So what's going to happen when this, because this is going one direction, right? Like it's not going this way. You're going to get the word of mouth and everything is going to continue. And you've done this. There's been no big television ads. There's not been a sweeping advertising campaign. This is word of mouth.
Total global domination.
Yeah. But it's been social media, right?
I mean, it really has.
100% social media.
Yeah. It's a totally different way to market. And
so you haven't answered my question. Are you making money yet?
We're making good. We're good.
Yeah.
We're good. We're you know, a lot of businesses fail. Most businesses fail the first year. So we're in the black in the first year. And that's including all the startup and getting everything going.
Yeah.
And now it's about making sure that cash flow is a little less lumpy.
Yeah.
You know, a little more smooth and making sure that that's, you know, that kind of stresses out of the
way. Here's my question. Give me the four colors. There's now four Raven sticks. Give me the four colors of the sticks. And first one through with the correct answer is going to win it. Well done, boys. I'm proud of you guys.
Thank you.
Every time I go, I know those guys. Hey, Calgary, getting their garage, went to the UFC, did this, say it's Calgary. Yeah, they're doing the thing. When do we get these?
They're in stores today.
In stores today.
Today is the launch day.
Go and see the good boys over at B&P Cycle or over at Pro Skate, and they'll tune you up. And yeah,
the guys in Medicine Hat, Lethbridge,
Players Bench.
Yeah. Medicine Hat, they're all part of your radio area.
And they've got them too.
If they don't have them, they'll put you on the list.
That's nice.
Sort of what's going to happen here, we think, again, just like it did last year.
Yeah, very cool. Congrats, guys.
Thank you,
Boomer. It's been appreciated.
Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer talking sports in the morning. Text him now at 960-960. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hockey insider Eric Duhatchik is brought to you by Eastside Kia. Score a winning price. Save $3,250 on a 2015 Kia Forte. Pay just $17,180 or lease for $89 bi-weekly. Barlow and 23rd or EastsideKia.ca.
Good morning, Eric Duhatchik. How are you?
I'm very good. I was up early. I listened to that whole last segment, you know?
Yeah, well...
Man, oh man. I needed that when I was a kid. Of all the things that I did adequately, shooting wasn't one of them. Oh, my goodness. How about you?
Well, no, I still can't shoot. Never could, never will. Guy's taking fun. So do they have like 150 flex for Boomer if it needs to be half their body weight? So really, it's a very warm and fuzzy crowd out there helping me out. but it's amazing to see the number of kids that are using them and are learning how to shoot at a young age. It's crazy that these guys sat around with young kids like, hey, you know what, sticks, they need better sticks. Maybe what can we do? And now they've got themselves a monster on their hands. So a success story to be sure.
That is a very good thing. You know, entrepreneurship I've always admired. It's always the things that you can't do that you admire. I couldn't shoot the puck, so the people like Al MacInnis who could really shoot it, I had a great admiration for that. Because when a skill eludes you, no matter how hard you work at it, it's like, wow, I wish I had that gene.
Yeah. The Anaheim Ducks, they don't lose in overtime, finally, in this series. It's scary how close the Ducks could be to being 5-0 in this series. Could have won in regulation last night. I don't know who you respect more, man, the Hawks or the Ducks, for their resiliency and their ability to come back. But both teams, they've got a ton of it.
Well, I was sitting here this morning thinking to myself how much I've enjoyed this round of the playoffs, you know, because I covered the first two. So you just, you know, like you really focus narrowly on the, you know, on the series that you're covering, and you lose sometimes touch with the broader perspective of what happens in the other game. I mean, you watch them, but, you know, sometimes, you know, you're traveling and it's on a TV in a bar or something like that, and you really can't sort of sit there and just watch, you know, just watch the game. So this series, we're not traveling, and it's like, wow, you know, the temptation to get up from your chair at 4-2 with 3 minutes to go, which, you know, normally happens, like it's not like you're ready to click off and get ready for bed, and you just stay with it. You just stay with it because you think the next weird, funny, odd thing is going to happen, and then it does, you know. And it's not just this series, it's the other one too. So it's been really fun, and I'm very interested in seeing what the television ratings are going to be, because I think there is the perception, you know, everybody repeats it in the spring, and I've seen it again, that, you know, that the NBA finals, you know, get better as they go along, and there's more drama, and the NHL, the perception is the first round is the best, and then interest peters out. I wonder if that is true this time around, just because of the pure entertainment value that you're seeing. You know, like the Ducks have been this fabulous come from behind team all year, and the Blackhawks, you know, like you say, last night, I mean, 4-2 down, and it looks like it's over, and then boom, boom, two pucks, and that doesn't look like Frederik Andersen is going to stop another puck. You know, that must have been the conversation in the dressing room privately, you know, like away from him, because it's like, let's get one on our first shot, because they'll probably get one on theirs. So it's just, it's fun. And I always, you know, say this is kind of what hockey was like before, you know, the systems took over and the coaches took over. And I always think that sort of the freewheeling hockey that we saw in the 80s combined with the athleticism and the skill development that you have now, if you could ever mesh the two, the product would be unbelievable. And I think that that's almost what you're seeing here, because you know, there's a little bit more recklessness in the way the game is being played right now in this particular series, but, you know, even in the other one. And some of it has to do with the goaltending isn't perfect and it's not bulletproof, and I'm glad it isn't, because I think that, you know, they're trying to wean all of the mistakes out of the game, and hockey is a game of mistakes. And if you do that, you know, you get these 1-0, you know, just like games like that you watch paint dry, and we haven't seen that. So it's been great. I mean, I've really enjoyed it, and I know you have to stay up awfully late to watch them, but I'm guessing that you're, you know, you can't turn away either.
Well, and there was a funny feeling that you had last night when Taves scored the first one. You saw him look up at the clock. It's like, yeah. you can't turn this thing off. I was almost, of course they scored. I mean, yeah. Of course they tied it.
Yeah.
And I can't help but wonder, we talked about this earlier, and I don't know what the examples would be, but you get the feeling with Taves that by the time his career is done, will he maybe be regarded as the biggest clutch player slash leader that maybe the game's ever seen? Because he's done what he's done, and I know Messier, and there's some great guys that have been captains and leaders and all of that, and there's no way to measure it, but what he's done already in his career, you shudder to think what's coming next.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think that there is a sort of a question that you ask about what's coming next in Chicago, because now they are one game away from elimination. So they need to win two here to get to the final. And then, you know, obviously another test after that. If not, so next year is the year that his new contract kicks in, Patrick Kane's new contract kicks in, and they'll have decisions to make, hard decisions, because they, you know, the cap isn't moving up the way NHL general managers hoped it would, thought it would. A lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, the dollar is about 82 cents right now, and that really impacts gross revenues in the National Hockey League, and that's how salary cap spectrum is determined. And so if, you know, like, first of all, I don't know how you move Patrick Sharp's contract, but probably that's the one that is going to receive the most scrutiny, because if you can move that contract, you know, you probably don't have to worry too much and do the kind of things that Boston had to do, right? I mean, you know, Boston went from, you know, another team that has had, you know, a tremendous amount of postseason success to having to move Johnny Boychuk, not signing Iginla, and they took too many key pieces out of the lineup, and, you know, then Krejci gets hurt, and all of a sudden, the year spirals out of control. So you know, to your point about Taves, a lot of it will depend on how well Scott Bowman or Sam Bowman can move, you know, younger pieces in, and how quickly they can become key pieces. You know, you look at Teravainen right now, and he looks like one guy that's an absolute keeper. You know, Joel Quenneville is like a lot of coaches that have been around a long time, really reluctant to put those young players in roles of responsibility too soon. He wants to give them a little bit and a taste here and a taste there. Well, he may not have a choice next year. He may have to do what Calgary has done, which is, you know, Michael Ferland, yeah, put him in and see what happens, you know, and live with the mistakes. And I think that that's the next step for the Chicago Blackhawks, no matter what happens with them this year, whether they lose in this round or win another Stanley Cup. But to me, you know, like Taves will be a constant. You know, I don't think the money's going to affect him. I think Kane will be a constant. The money won't affect him. But I do think that you know, it's still a team game, and you have to, you know, have, you know, contributions from the bottom half of the roster, and that is going to change in Chicago. And so a lot will depend on what kind of a supporting cast they put into place for the next, you know, 3 to 5 years. That, I think, will determine his ultimate legacy, because you just can't win championships in this league without having, you know, guys that you can rely on deeper down the roster.
You mentioned Patrick Sharp. Now, we saw the LA Kings and the difficulty they had with the Mike Richards deal. Now, it spanned longer in terms of years. Sharp has 2 years left. He's a $5.9 million cap hit. Real money, it's less than that. What kind of a deal will it have to be? He's 33. Again, you said he's almost untradeable. What kind of trade gets done?
Well, I think it's general managers have been talking a long time about sort of finding the right strategic fit for players, you know. So, you know, will a team that has cap space be prepared to take him off your hands if they, you know, sweeten the pot for you by giving you a young player off their roster or draft pick or something along those lines? I mean, there will be teams, there's only a handful, but that, you know, that really need the cap hit to get under the salary. I mean, Arizona always jumps to mind, because Arizona is a team that, you know, that shed themselves of Yandel, of Vermette. You know, they're going to do next year what Buffalo did this past year, which is go with young players, and they will ultimately have to, you know, fight to get to the salary cap floor. And so a player like that, where the dollars out are not as you know, the dollars out, what are they, about $4 million in the last couple of years? So it's less than the cap hit.
Yeah,
so
five.
They don't mind the cap hit. They don't mind the cap hit, yeah. if the dollars out are a little bit. So there will be, you know, ways of you know, like a moving a deal like that. But it's, you know, it will cost you something in order to do that. And you know, part of the problem, too, is that if he had a better and a more consistent year, it would be a little bit different. But I think, you know, people are watching him right now, you know, and he's still very quick. I mean, the one thing about him is that, you know, like, you know, when in the right situation, you can spring him on a breakaway. But those pucks, which have gone in the net in the past, you know, haven't been going in the net nearly as consistently. And you know, he's not really playing a top six role on the team. I mean, they move the lines around, you know, here and there, because Joel Quenneville is a great believer. And, you know, like, if a guy's not going, you know, change it up. But when their lines are set, he doesn't play in their top six. And so that's an expensive contract for a guy that, you know, granted, Chicago is one of the deepest teams up front in the league, and it's hard to crack their top six, but he's not playing in that group for the most part. And so that's a red flag for general managers. So, you know, it'll be challenging, and it will be interesting to see how they resolve it. But, you know, I think that, you know, Boston probably would have, you know, preferred a do-over on the Boychuk deal and found a different way, you know. And there, you know, there's always a different way. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, Chicago is going to, I think, explore that option first. And if it doesn't work, well, they'll have to find a different way.
When Pinder gets back from the center of the universe, do you think he'll be referring to himself in third person? Yes. Ryan is helping fill in, do some shifts in Toronto. They're shorthanded, apparently.
Right in the universe of the world, Toronto, Ontario.
Yeah. So all of a sudden,
they put the metal to the pedal.
All of a sudden, any designs or goal of being in Toronto?
Yep.
It's completely dashed. Completely dashed. Hey, Boom, what was Pinder doing on the Jeff Blair Show? Is he pulling a Walker? He's filling in. How much is the trip? It's the Mexico trip. Boomer and Warner in the morning. We're going to Mexico November 20th. We're going for a week. Marlin Travel has set this thing up. Go to your desktop computer. It's the easiest way. Desktop computer, marlintravel.ca/1479. And then you'll see an Our Agency link. Knock it down. SN960 Flames in Mexico. They've got the double, triple, single occupancy rates. Maybe you want to go for 2 weeks. They got a deal there for you. Shows you everything that's included. We're going to Bucerías, Mexico, the Royal Decameron Complex. So get in on it. How much is it? Go find out. Nice music, Sklar Brothers. Is that a shot? I've never heard of Bryan Adams, Loverboy, or April Wine signed new Pinder.
I've heard of all of those. Hmm. So there.
Just
show that guy.
Just good to hear you every morning. Keep up the fun work, and then a smiley face.
Aw.
Isn't that nice?
Aw.
Hey, Boom, did you know that Survivor man Les Stroud played guitar for the Northern Pikes? I did not. I knew they were from Saskatoon. I thought that was enough.
Yeah.
Northern Pikes knowledge, but thank you for that. I appreciate. Would love to talk about how big of an idiot Kessler is. Well, where do you start and where do you finish?
Yeah.
Where does... it would take a long time.
They got a couple guys on that team. Rather big idiots, pretty good at hockey.
Love, Boomer, how you support local business people in Southern Alberta. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm happy to do it. If there's something you need to flog, let me know. Then I'll do it, and then my boss will get really mad at me and say, you can't do that. And then we'll do it anyway.
Yeah.
Holy S, I'm coming to Mexico with you. I'm telling you, this is going to... And I missed the biggest part. We're going in November, November 20th to 27th, 7 nights, all-inclusive at the Royal Decameron Complex, and we're going to we're going to do what we do, obviously, which is, like, drink and sleep and pool and party and surf and all that. And then at night, we've got it set up that we're getting the big screens put up to watch the Flames games.
Yeah.
And I would guess over the 7 nights, we don't have the schedule yet, but there'll probably be 3 games. So we'll have some fun. Hit the buffet.
Huh?
Then a little Cubra Libra. Cerveza, per favor. And then watch the Flames. Hey, Boom. Went to the Royal Decameron a couple years ago. Very nice kid-friendly resort. I hope they pull you up on their stage to sing like I had to. Oh, I'll be singing.
Oh, yes.
Like, I don't do that, but I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Super average job today, donkeys. Real subpar. Thank you. F the NDP. Hey, listen, I don't care about politics. There's no room for politics on this thing. It starts off with a sing this. It's giving me a little note.
Mm-hmm.
The best part of waking up is Pinder not on the show.
You really have a knack for the singing thing.
Boom, ask Josh Humphries if he's still mad at me. Hump, are you still mad?
Why are you mad, bro?
Yeah, he's still mad.
Yeah.
Still mad. I partied backstage with the Pikes and Mike from Much Music, good people. Pinder should just stay in Toronto. There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
There's really a lot of that. Just went to the Marlin site. You're looking quite dapper in the picture. Well, thank you. What they've done is they've taken one of our... press photos or whatever you want to call it, and they've given us Hawaiian shirts, even though we're not going to Hawaii.
No,
you know what? They're party shirts, and have I got a great party shirt? Now I got to start getting my wardrobe ready.
Yeah.
Oh, and remember, next Friday is Hawaiian shirt day.
Yeah. So.
If you want to, go ahead and wear a Hawaiian shirt and jeans.
Boomer.
Hello, Peter. What's happening?
That's right. Where is it here? Boomer, Raven hockey is the best thing for young girls' hockey shooting development. Well done. There you go. Boys and girls, both. It works. The science. There's science. You can't argue with science. Boom, have you found your new car yet? No, and I don't want to talk about it.
Ooh.
Went to the car auction on the weekend. My wallet, not quite thick enough to get my car.
No?
No. Boom, my first child is due November 11th. Would it be appropriate to go to Mexico like a week later?
Yes.
Absolutely. You know what? Once the kid's like a week old, they can fend for themselves.
Yeah, geez, cut the cord.
Just kind of leave a big pile of Cheerios in the kitchen floor, and it's just like a dog. They'll just help themselves. Neither of you idiots can surf. Stop talking like you're going to in Mexico.
Well, I'm not going to Mexico.
Well, I am, and I'll give it a shot. Gonna have to be a big surfboard.
You Boom. Said it, not me.
Boom, are your kids coming to Mexico? Are you what? No, I love them, but I love them in Calgary when I'm in Mexico. If I go to Mexico with you, can I fill in for Rhett when he doesn't show up? Absolutely. I'm telling you right now, those shows are going to be so off the rails. You think we get haywire now?
Oh.
Like, just wait. No Pinder. I miss Corsi, Blue Jays, and Michael Backlund talk. Yeah, we're somewhat depreciative in those uh, those areas.
I'll try to step that up tomorrow.
Yeah. Hey, boom, make sure to crank out some squats, strengthen up those calves. You may want to pre-tan those puppies. Yeah, I'd hate to. I have. Have you ever had that? I would. What was worse, the worst thing for me, because I do have, you may have heard, large calves.
Yes.
And this is legit. I would get bad sunburn on my left calf when I'm golfing and driving a golf cart.
Okay, because it's kind of...
Because I'd be, yeah. It's a bad...
Yeah, that's rough. The weirdest one I got was sitting at a Blue Jays game where the tops of my knees got sunburnt and that was it.
Yeah. Will Beef Wolski and Ray Walker be going to Mexico in Speedos? That's deep. It's not even a name mentioned. That means nothing to anyone except me and whoever texted that in. God, this show sucks without Flames talk. Just saying. Boomer. Why don't you ever get the Toronto gigs? Well, number one, I'm probably not good enough. But number two, I have zero interest in going to Toronto. I've never spent any amount of time there. I don't have family there. I enjoy the West.
Yeah.
I love Calgary. I love the Stampede. I love Alberta Beef. I love this that is the Flames, Oilers, this whole, you know.
You fit here.
Everything that is this fits me better.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. I should probably get out. It's 9:08. I asked for 5 minutes.
What you want to talk about with Boomer and Pinder, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. Hurry in for 21st anniversary employee pricing with discounts up to $16,129 and financing from 0%. Offer ends May 23rd. Shop or geoshops, varsitychrysler.com.
Tee off Tuesday coming up, and when we return from Quebec, it is the MasterCard Memorial Cup. Insider and expert in junior hockey, Sam Cosentino, joining Peter Klein. When we come back, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.